Every year on Erev Shabbos Chanukah, there's a big dilemma that the Jewish people have, and I believe that this year, when we're having not for one, but we're double the trouble, two Shabbos is Chanukah, the dilemma is only magnified, not to mention the fact that it makes us even more confused as to what we're supposed to do on this particular Friday. This Friday, God willing, we're going to be lighting the first candle of Hanukkah, and the subsequent Friday, we're going to be lighting the eighth and final candle of Hanukkah for this year. Every time Shabbat Hanukkah comes out, the Jewish people are very tense. They're in general nervous people, but when the Arab Shabbat Hanukkah comes, they're ultra-nervous. What's the first reason that they're ultra-nervous? Excellent. In our part of the world, the northern hemisphere at least, Shabbos Chanukah always comes out in winter. So in order to light candles before Shkia, before sunset, which is the cutoff time for doing any malacha on the eve of Shabbos, you have to be prepared way in advance to light the Shabbos candles. And this particular Friday, to light both the Shabbos candles and the Hanukkah candles. So here in Israel, Shkia comes out something like 435, 437, I'm not exactly sure. So that means you've got to be ready way in advance, make sure everyone's showered, the house is clean, the food is cooked, everything is set and ready to light the candles, and it's pretty early. But there's a second reason why we're confused, not just because of the early hour. The second reason we're confused, if you look on your source sheet, is because there is a very big dilemma with regard to the magic power of the Shabbos candles. The magic power of the Shabbos candles, how far it can go. And in order to introduce this topic, let's look at our source sheet, and you'll see something fascinating with regard to the Shabbos candles. At the end of the source sheet, you'll see I quoted the Rambam in the 30th chapter of his Laws of Shabbos, as well as the Rambam in the 5th chapter of his Laws of Shabbos. In the 30th chapter of the Laws of Shabbos, the Rambam brings all the laws that you're supposed to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbat, of respecting the Shabbos. How do you respect something? By doing things in honor of it. We have a beautiful Masoret from the Vilna Gaon that explains that Kvod Shabbos is everything you do on the eve of Shabbos in preparation for the day. So ultimately, says the Vilna Gaon in Hilchos Yom Tov Tavka, that the list in Perek Lamed is all the things you do on the eve of Shabbos. And indeed, he is correct factually. It talks about cleaning the house. It talks about taking a shower. It talks about putting on special clothing. All these things you do with Kvod Shabbat. And if you look at the source on the page, one of the things you do is to clean the house, L'takein Eto, L'Kvod Yom, M'Knei Kvod Shabbat. And then the Rambam adds, V'Yedir Aruch, Shulchan Aruch, U'Mitam Utsat, Shekol Eid L'Kvod Shabbat Hen. Light the candle, set the table, have the bed made, because all these things are called Kvod Shabbat, doing things in honor of Shabbos. According to this Rambam, lighting candles on the eve of Shabbos is in preparation for Shabbos. However, if you look on the left side of the sheet, you'll see that in the fifth chapter of the Law of the Shabbos, he talks about something totally different, and again alludes to the fact that the Shabbos candles is part of it. Here he's not talking about Kvod Shabbat, but if you look at the part of the source that's underlined, it says it's Onik Shabbat. Going back to that famous statement of the Vilna Gaon and Hilchos Yadif, Onik Shabbat is not what you do in honor of Shabbos, but rather, take a wild guess, what you do on Shabbos. Fulfilling various laws on Shabbos is a fulfillment of Oneg Shabbat. So ultimately, the Rambam says in the fifth chapter of his Hilchos Shabbos It's not some sort of an option. And the mitzvah she not me have to do for her, the mitzvah that you're not worried about, ela hi chova. It is a chova. It is not just a mitzvah, it's mamish hatzoras and poshot. Just like Mayim Achronim at that time. Mayim Achronim was washed, why? Because you might have gotten salt, dangerous salt in your eyes if you didn't wash your hands. The Rambam says that basically Shabbos candles is for the same reason. We light Shabbos candles so we can have light in the house on Shabbos, and we won't bump into each other when we're holding a hot bowl of chicken soup. And therefore, it's not just a mitzvah, it's a chova. It's a tzoras of nefashos. And therefore, the Rambam says, both men and women are obligated in this mitzvah, prior to common belief. Women have the right of way to do it on behalf of the men. But it is definitely a mitzvah for both men and women. And the Rambam adds that they have to have a ner daluk b'Shabbat. You need to have a lit candle on Shabbos. And even if you have nothing to eat and you have to go and collect, how you gotta do it, and then it's called on Shabbat. After seeing all this in the Rambam, we can see that lighting Shabbos candles has a dual personality. It is one of the things that we do before Shabbos, like cleaning the house. And it's one of the things that we have to do on Shabbos. The Rambam will say you can't light the candle on Shabbos, but it better be lit during Shabbos. Whether you have a candle lit on Shabbos, and yet you're not allowed to light it on Shabbos, when should we light it? On Erev Shabbos, that's what the Rambam adds. Beautiful. If you're going to light a candle, it's going to be lit on Shabbos. In order for it to be lit on Shabbos, you ultimately have to light it before Shabbos because came along God and said, you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. So anyway, you look at it, you're going to do both. You're going to light the candle before Shabbos and you're going to have it lit on Shabbos. So you're going to do both. Double Shabbos and only Shabbos. You're going to light the candle before Shabbos and have it lit on Shabbos. However, when you look at this Rambam, you have to ask yourself a question. What's the Iker and what's the Tosaf? What is the mitzvah and what is sort of the benefit? In many, many areas in Halakha we ask this question, and this is no exception to the rule. What is the Iker and what is the Tosaf? What is the more important part of this mitzvah? In any case, we're going to light before Shabbos and have it lit on Shabbos. Which part of this mitzvah is the more important part? In order to answer this question, we have to look at a beautiful Mishnah that you know by heart. Unfortunately, the majority of Jewish people know it by heart. They don't necessarily understand it. How do I know this? Or to be more precise, how do I have the audacity to say it? Because it's part of davening. And the minute something's part of davening, my assumption is we say it, we know it, even by heart. We don't necessarily understand a word we're saying. We daven it up, and yet, many, many times, we've not understood it. This is one of the mishnas that we say on the eve of Shabbos, in between Kavanat Shabbat and Arvit, in between accepting the Shabbos with Lechabundi, etc., to actually davening my or saying Baruch Hu. It's part of the B'nei Maglitim ritual on Friday night. And that wonderful ritual, it says, Shloshat V'reiz L'Hadam O'ma B'Tos K'Dor'er Shabbatim Chashicha. Three things you have to say on the eve of Shabbos as it's getting dark. Yisartim, you take Maaser from the food, something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Eiratim, if you take care of all the Eiruv, from Eiruv Chatzeiruv to Eiruv Megolos, in order to carry on Shabbos. Matlik O'Maner, don't forget to light the candle. We need a candle lit on Shabbos, or we need to light a candle before Shabbos. Anyway, you look at it, light the candle. What's the question, Ms. Mishnah? What's the question? The question is, is this set in order? Or is this just the three things you gotta say, no difference what the order is? Can you start out by telling your house, just light the Shabbos candle. Then take my fair, then make an Eruv. Or make an Eruv first, light the Shabbos candles, and then take Maaser. Or is it the doctor? start out with mice there in a roof. Because once you light the Shabbos candle, what's going to happen? It's going to be Shabbos. By lighting the Shabbos candle, it's going to be Shabbos. The last thing we do on Friday is to light the Shabbos candle and be it Shabbos. Because it's going to be Shabbat. Part of enjoying Shabbos is to have a lit candle. Or perhaps not. Perhaps you light the candle. It's one of the things you do in honor of Shabbos, but you don't accept Shabbos in that moment. Later on at night, when you eat the Shabbos meal, you'll enjoy the light. But at this moment, you're not accepting Shabbos. The problem is, the law brings the law of lighting the Shabbos candle with the other laws of cleaning the house. If I clean the house 10 o'clock Friday morning, am I accepting Shabbos? If I take a shower at 2 o'clock and Shabbos on Friday afternoon, am I accepting Shabbos? Of course not. The question is this Mishnah fit in order, which would assume and allude to the fact that perhaps you have to go ahead and say that you have to accept Shabbos as a specific moment that you light Shabbos candles, and therefore you can't do the Meister and the Erev Esword, or perhaps it's not set in order. Rashi takes the assumption that it's just the three things that you say. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi there says that ultimately it's the three things you say in that suit. So as you can see with regard to Rashi, Rashi basically takes these words in the Mishnah and just says, look, I just want to make a small little point about this Mishnah. Not a small little point about this Mishnah, that basically not equal. The father of the house doesn't know if they took mice there from the fruit. Because the fruit is sitting on the table, and it's the same fruit before and after taking mice there. It looks the same. True, before you take mice there, it's called Tevel. You can't eat it. You're an absolute vicious person who decided to eat food that mice there wasn't taken from. And after you take the mice there, it's considered permissible to eat. But the fruit looks like the same fruit. There's no difference. So Rashi says that of course the father of the home has to make a declaration and ask, did you take mice there? Because there's no way of knowing that without knowing it. You can't look at the food and say, they took mice from it, because it looks like the oranges and the apples, whether they took or not. The same thing is true, says Rashi, with regard to the issue of an Eruv. If you're in the house, and you made an Eruv Chatzera, you have no way of knowing that. It's not the big Eruv we have around the city. The small Eruv, the Eruv Chatzera, he's basically taking a box of matzah from various different people, bringing it to one, taking a box of matzah, which basically is the matzah of all the people around, putting it in one home. If you're sitting in your house and that's not the home with the matzah, there's no big sign over it, you have no way of knowing. So therefore, Rashi says that the father of the home has to ask, did you make an eruv? Because he has no way of knowing that without asking. Not so, says Rashi, with regard to lighting the candle. Rashi says, when the father of the home says, Hadliku et haner, it's obviously not a question, but a statement. Namely, I am telling you, light the darn candle, because I see it not lit. That's awkward, says Rashi. With regard to the first two, it's a question. With regard to the third, it's not a question. The third is an order. Light the candle. Light the candle. That's what Rashi says on this particular famous Mishnah that we say each Friday night we change from Matzah and Myris. This, on the other hand, is not the position of the Bahag. The Or Zeruah takes the words of the Bahag against Rashi and is the diet that you see on your source sheet. He infers from it that, according to Rashi, you can ultimately take mice there and make an Eruv after you have lit the candle. Because Rashi does not say in his words that this Mishnah is the book and it's coming in order. That there's no way that ultimately you can take mice there, or you can go ahead and take an Eruv lighting candles. Rashi just says there's a difference between the first two statements and the third question. Yeah. So therefore says the Or Zeruah that because Rashi didn't in any way say that this is in order, Rashi must assume that it doesn't have to be in order. And therefore says the Or Zeruah, Rashi is assuming that you do not accept Shabbos with the candle lighting, because you can either light candles first, or you can light candles last. When you light candles, it doesn't make a difference. You can still go ahead and take Maaser, you can still go ahead and make an Eruv. Therefore, this Mishnah is just writing it in the order of Maaser, Eruv, and candle lighting. It could have written it the other way, and it's no problem. Therefore assumes the Or Zeruah, that according to Rashi, there's absolutely no issue. If you can just quote the Or Zeruah, with a Ferush Rashi Mashma, according to Rashi, you can infer Shein no Ratzavomar, Shad Lakata Ner Havikamulat Shabbat. Not so of the Bach. There's a famous Bach that talks about this week, Friday. On the left side of the page, you have to light the Shabbos candles and the Hanukkah candles. You have to light the Hanukkah candles first, and only afterwards light the Shabbos candles. Because it says the Bahag, Mishum b'Kabbalah l'Shabbat Aleha, you accept Shabbos by lighting the candles for Shabbos. So once you accept Shabbos, you can't light the menorah. And this, of course, says the Or Zeruah, that according to the Bahag, as opposed to Rashi, this Mishnah is in order. You have to first take Maaser and do an Eruv, and only afterwards you can light the candles for Shabbos, because ultimately if you light the candles first, you won't be able to take Maaser or to make your Eruv. So we have a beautiful Machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and the Bahag. On that famous, how do you interpret the famous Mishnah we say Friday night? Do you accept Shabbos with the candle lighting, or don't you? According to Rashi, you don't, at least the way the Or Zeruah infers, and according to the Hag, you do. What's the Nachtamina? So you accept Shabbos, you don't accept Shabbos. Well, there are endless Nachtaminas, but just to give one to the Gemara itself, the next source on the page from Maseches Shabbos of Lamed Hey Amud Bet brings the Minhag that happened during the time of the Talmud, in which they would blow six different sets of shofar blowings on Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara says the first one was to stop the people in the fields from working and tell them to come home, take a shower, Shabbat is coming. The second one was to ultimately close down the shops in the city, which is closest to home. And the third one is to light the Shabbos candles, according to Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Yehuda Hanassi disagrees and says, no, the third one was to take off your tefillin. They wore tefillin all day, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbat, so the third one was to take off your tefillin. Thus says Rashi, the fourth one must have been to light the candles. Then it says in this wonderful Gemara that after they lit the candles, they would leave a little fish on the fire to finish cooking, and they would put bread in the oven to finish baking. Small little last-minute cookings in the kitchen. Nothing that took 2 hours, something that took 20 minutes. And only after that, they would throw the last two shofar blowings, and then it was shot. Well, how do you interpret this wonderful Gemara? According to the Tosfos HaRosh, this is a beautiful raya for Rashi's school of thought, that you don't accept Shabbos with candle lighting. What did they do after candle lighting? Mefurash Gemara, what did they do after candle lighting? They continue to cook. Correct. After candle lighting, after the third or the fourth shofar blow, they continue to cook. Therefore, you don't accept Shabbos with candle lighting. But according to the Or Zeruah, this is not such a good raya. Because it could very well be that the Gemara is not telling us that after they lit the candles, they put the fish on the fire or the bread in the oven. But rather the Gemara is telling us simultaneously, around the same time before they lit the candles, they ultimately finished up all the cookings towards Shabbos. And only afterwards they would take candles, and then the last two shofar blows happened. So the Or Zeruah disagrees with the Tosfos HaRosh and seems to say that this Gemara is not the proof that by lighting Shabbos candles, you accept Shabbos. He assumes that the putting of the food in the oven happened simultaneously a little before they leave the campus. So obviously we have until now a beautiful machlokes rishonim. Do you accept Shabbos with the candle lighting? According to the Zohar, yes. According to Rashi, probably not. We saw a Gemara that says that they blew shofar blowings on Erev Shabbos, and the third or the fourth one was to light the candles, to indicate to the people to light the candles. After the candles were lit, ultimately it says in the Gemara that they stopped. So according to the Tosfos HaRosh, that means that you don't accept Shabbos with the lighting of the candles. You lit the candles, you continue to cook. But according to the Or Zavuah, this is not a good proof, simply because maybe the Gemara means that it was all done around the same time. They finished cooking, and then they lit the candles. Whatever it might be, ultimately we found a machlokes rishonim, do you accept Shabbos with the candle lighting or not? And if we go back to the beginning of this year, ultimately we find a beautiful machlokes, what is the more important thing? To light the candles in honor of Shabbos, not accept Shabbos. Just like you take a shower for Shabbos and don't accept Shabbos. You put on your Shabbos clothes and don't accept Shabbos. You also light the candles and don't accept Shabbos. It's one of the things you do in honor of Shabbos. Sure, the candle must and will be lit till later, and you'll enjoy its flame later, but that's not the most important part of the mitzvah. Or perhaps the opposite. The most important part of the mitzvah is to enjoy the Shabbos candle on Shabbos. And therefore, when you light the candle, it's not enough. You have to say, you have to light the candle, and then accept Shabbos, and ultimately when you accept Shabbos, by default, you're enjoying the light on Shabbos. What is the more important part of this equation? Tzvot Shabbos, lighting it in honor of Shabbos, or the only Shabbos, lighting it and enjoying it on Shabbos? This particular machlokes, do you accept Shabbos with the candle lighting or not, is ultimately brought down lahalacha. Meaning lahalacha, we have the same machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch, the Jewish law, that not in any which way he can stand. You can see the next source on the page, he brings both points of views. First he brings the point of view of the Baha'i, which you accept Shabbos with candle lighting, and then he brings the point of view, the Yeshu King of lahalacha, there's those that disagree and say you don't accept Shabbos. The rabbi, you accept Shabbos the minute you go ahead and say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos in davening, or you say Baruch Hu, just like the Gemara seemed to infer in the Sefer Brachos. Ramah takes the middle position. He says in his middle position, in the name of the Or Zavuah and the Gaon, that a woman accepts Shabbos when she lights candles. A man does not accept Shabbos when he lights candles. The Mishnah Berurah takes a little step back from the Ramah and says that even if a man lights the Shabbos candles himself, he will not accept Shabbos when he lights the Shabbos candles. So lehalacha, the machlokes rishonim, do you accept Shabbos with the Shabbos candles lighting? He's basically brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't take a stand. The Ramah does and says the woman that lights does. The man that lights, according to the Mishnah Berurah, doesn't. And if a man doesn't light at all, but rather his wife is lighting on his behalf, for sure not. The nafkaminas are endless. The general ramifications, practically, are endless. And I'll just get there very fast. And the next, you can see the sources yourselves on the page. The first nafkamina, of course, is how do you make the bracha? Most brachas on mitzvahs, first you make the bracha, and then you light the candles, like we'll do for, like what? How are we going to do it? The Hanukkah candles. You make the bracha, then you light the candles. You make the bracha, then you shake the lulav. You make the bracha, then you blow the shofar. There are a few exceptions to this rule, but in general, that's the rule. Well, what do you do here? If by lighting the candles you accept Shabbos, then you can make a bracha and then light the candles. If you're making a bracha, perhaps you're accepting Shabbos. So ultimately, if you have five candles to light, you take a bracha and light the first, but you can't light the rest. So therefore, indeed, there are must be rule points of view. First, he says you can make the bracha like you do any time before you light, because you don't accept Shabbos by lighting. But the other point of view is, you do accept Shabbos by lighting, and then comes the Ramah with the ingenious idea that all women do as far as I know, and that is to light first, but then cover your eyes and take the bracha, and then when you open your eyes, it's a shtickler over la siyatan. It's like you are now enjoying the light. Now the Ramah's words are precise, because what did we say? If you accept Shabbos by lighting candles, the most important thing is not the light, but to enjoy it on Shabbos. So by covering your eyes and making the bracha, you're not enjoying the candles yet. After you make the bracha at Shabbos, and now you open your eyes and you're enjoying the candles, so you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Shabbos You did something with small Shabbos. You did the candles. We're not talking about the important thing. The most important thing is to enjoy it on Shabbos itself. So the Ramah brings two minhagim as to how to make the bracha. If you accept Shabbos by candle lighting, you can make the bracha and then light. You're then at Shabbos the minute you make the bracha. If ultimately you don't accept Shabbos with lighting, then of course you can make the bracha and then go on and light the candle. The second nafkamina, of course, is what do you do with the flame in your hand? Midrash Tanhuma, the next source on the page, says that they asked the rabbi what to do. How many kilts, how many shofar blowings do you make on Erev Shabbos? And ultimately, what do you do with the candle? And Midrash Tanhuma says very, very explicitly that if you lit the candles, and you had a candle in your hand, and you put it down on the floor, and the Shulchan Aruch didn't entertain this point of view when he brings down the view of the Bahar. But if you're lighting candles and you accept Shabbos, what do you do? You have a candle in your hand. You can't blow it out. It's already Shabbos, and you're not allowed to blow out a candle on Shabbos. You just leave it until it blows out by itself. However, if you don't accept Shabbos with the candle lighting, of course you can blow it out. The third ramification is when you daven mincha. If it's Shabbos, it's now Friday. It's not Friday anymore. It's Shabbos. According to the point of view that you don't accept Shabbos with candle lighting, you can light the candles and say Shabbat Shalom afterwards and daven mincha. According to the point of view that you do accept Shabbos with the candle lighting, you of course have to daven mincha before you lit the candles. And that's exactly the point of view of the Magen Avraham on the Mishnah Berurah. And if a woman davens mincha and she's lighting the candles, she must daven mincha before candle lighting every Friday night. However, this third ramification may not be such a good one. Because if you recall, we said that you accept Shabbos with the candle lighting. That statement might not be that you accept upon yourself that it's already Saturday, Shabbos. Perhaps it's Friday that you allow yourself to ultimately stop doing the bracha. That's called Mosefet Shabbos according to the Rashal. The Rashal says you cannot turn Friday into Saturday. All you can do on Friday is to accept the prohibitions of Shabbos early. So according to his point of view, you can accept the prohibitions of Shabbos and go down the mincha afterwards. It's still Friday. You're just not writing anything down. You're not putting on the lights. According to the Taz, that's not to set the Shabbos. Accepting Shabbos means you are now turning Friday into Saturday. So if that's the case, of course, and you accept the Shabbos of candle lighting, you cannot have them in prayer afterwards. So we found three nafkaminas every Friday night, three ramifications of this beautiful conflict of views. According to the point of view that you accept Shabbos by lighting Shabbos candles, you have to daven mincha before. You can delete Shabbos by the time you light the candles. You do not blow out the candle afterwards, and you can't get the bracha and then light the candles, because by making the bracha, you accept the Shabbos. According to the point of view, however, if you do not accept Shabbos with lighting candles, you can go ahead and light the candles, and then daven mincha. You can light the candles and blow out the candle that you have in your hand that ultimately you lit the other candles with, and you, of course, can go ahead and make the bracha first and then light the candles. If you light any candles, you don't accept Shabbos. However, the first ramification of mincha, we took a step back and said perhaps you can still daven mincha by saying that you accepted the malachos, not doing malacha anymore, but perhaps it's not yet Saturday, so you can still daven mincha. You didn't turn Friday into Shabbos. The fourth nafkamina, of course, is this week. If you look at the source sheet, the fourth nafkamina comes along, the ratio is a big, big difference of view. What do you do with the Hanukkah candles? So, of course, what we've said until now, it's very simple. If you accept Shabbos by lighting Shabbos candles, you better light your Hanukkah menorah beforehand, because by the time you light the Shabbos candles, you're stuck. You cannot light the menorah because you accept the Shabbos. According to the point of view, however, that you do not accept Shabbos by lighting the Shabbos candles, and ultimately, there's no problem. So indeed, these points of view are brought down. Beis Yosef brings the Dalat Tosfos and says that it seems from the Tosfos, but you can do what you want, because you don't accept Shabbos by lighting the Shabbos candles. So ultimately, light the menorah first, light the Shabbos candles first, whatever you want. The Mishnah Berurah sort of takes a step back from this and says that the majority of the poskim indeed comes along and says that the Tosfos is probably correct. However, a woman lighting the Shabbos candle should really light the menorah first. Again, the point of view of the Ramah, that a woman should accept Shabbos when she lights the Shabbos candles. On the other side of the spectrum, if you look in the middle, you could see that many posts say, listen, you don't accept Shabbos when lighting Shabbos candles. And add on to that, another important aspect, and that is a general rule. Tadir, b'she'en, tadir, tadir, kodem. When you have something frequent and something infrequent, what you always do is to do the frequent one first, and then the infrequent one. There's again exceptions to this rule, but that's the general rule. We light Shabbos candles every Friday night, and we don't accept Shabbos lighting Shabbos candles. We only light the menorah 8 days a year, so ultimately do the frequent one first, light Shabbos candles, and then light the menorah. That's basically what the Radbaz entertains. The Rashba says it's Mahalacha. So too, the Bach on the tour also entertains this possibility in one of his points of view. That's what the Ran in the name of the Ra'ah says, that's what the Rizva says. First, Shabbos candles, then Chanukah candles, not because you can do what you want, but after, you got to do the frequent one first. However, the Rabbah himself says that the bottom line is, this is a Machlokes, we don't know if you accept Shabbos or don't, and therefore he says, you should light the menorah first for three reasons. Number one, here's the point of view that says that when you light the Shabbos candles, you accept Shabbos, and you can't light the menorah afterwards. Number two, that point of view was indeed entertained by many Geonim, and Geonim are important. And number three, he says, perhaps you should light the menorah first for a totally local reason. And that is because it's such a beautiful mitzvah that everybody loves. It's Pesumei Nisa, it's only 8 days a year, and because of those three reasons. There's a point of view that you accept Shabbos. The Gaonim accept that point of view. And Pesumei Nisa, maybe you should light the menorah first. The Mishnah Berurah says that's a good idea. This way you yaitse all the details, because ultimately you don't have to accept Shabbos by lighting the Shabbos candles. But you will accept the Shabbos because you light the menorah first. Lahalacha, interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch first paskin like this point of view and says light the menorah first this Friday, and only afterwards the Shabbos candles. And it's fascinating to know why he doesn't explain. I don't believe he basically comes down and says, from here you learn, you accept Shabbos by lighting Shabbos candles, and therefore you can't light the menorah afterwards. Because when he related to this issue directly, he brought both points of view equally. Maybe it's because of the Radbaz's point of view that there's a agglomeration of three deos. You combine them all, you find indeed that it's a good idea to do. Perhaps it's because of that idea in the Radbaz that because if you're assuming Nisa, we love the menorah. Whatever it might be, lahalacha, the Shulchan Aruch comes down and says, you should light the menorah and then the Shabbos candles. Rabbi Yosef infers from here that the Shulchan Aruch didn't take a stand on do you accept Shabbos with the Shabbos candles, but he basically entertains the possibility that once a year, we entertain the Bahag. Once a year we say the Bahag, you're correct. When is this once a year? This Friday. This Friday we're choshish for the Bahag. Interesting point of view of the Rav Avadia Yosef. Well, if that's the case, of course the Nafkamina is going to be Mincha. If you say that you accept Shabbos and lighting Shabbos candles and you don't go to Mincha early, then light your menorah, then light your Shabbos candles, because once you light the Shabbos candles, it's Shabbos. If you say that's not the reason at all, the reason we like the menorah first is because if there's too many Nisa, it's a mitzvah chaviva, we love the menorah so much, we don't like the Shabbos candles as much, then you can have a mincha afterwards, there's no problem. Of course, if you say that this whole big deal doesn't exist, and we don't accept the Shulchan Aruch, and you can do what you want, then you can do what you want. However, with regard to mincha, and this will end, there is one more shtickle of reason as to why maybe you should daven mincha early this Friday. Not because of this whole idea that perhaps you accept Shabbos with the Shabbos candles, but for a different reason. Birka Yosef brings the point of view of the Maharasha Buhav, and Eliyahu Rabba says it as well. And perhaps we have to daven mincha first, because that's the way it was done. Why do we light the Chanukah menorah? This is not a trick question. Why do we light the Chanukah menorah? To remember the miracle where? In the Beis HaMikdash. It comes along these points of view and says, what happens in the Beis HaMikdash? They did it in a certain order. So in our homes, 8 days a year, we remember and recall the Beis HaMikdash. Well, and the Beit HaMikdash, they went ahead and lit and basically brought a korban to the Karabayim, for which we daven Hukkah today instead, first. Only afterwards, he went ahead and he said that they go ahead and you light the menorah. So first, you go ahead and do the Hanukkah menorah. Excuse me, you go ahead and have a mincha, and Mitzvah ben Arba'im comes before the Hanukkah menorah, and then you light the menorah. So how can we do it differently in our homes? How can we first light the menorah, then daven mincha? And the Beit HaMikdash didn't do it that way. And the whole idea of lighting the menorah is to remember the Beit HaMikdash. Thus, says these points of view, whether you accept Shabbos with Hanukkah candles or not, with Shabbos candles or not, it makes no difference. On Erev Shabbos Hanukkah, you daven mincha first, not because of Shabbos, but because of the menorah. You always daven mincha before you light the menorah. That's the way we do it all week, and that's the way we have to do it Friday. Because that's the way it was done in the Beit HaMikdash. To sum up this year, we saw two points of view. Do you or do you not go ahead and accept Shabbat by lighting the Shabbos candles? If you do, you obviously get the mincha beforehand. Make sure not to blow out the candle, and make sure that you have some sort of a good idea of how to make the bracha on the Shabbos candles. However, you go ahead and have to do all that because you accept Shabbos. If you don't accept Shabbos with the Shabbos candles, you can light the Shabbos candles and go on about your business. Continue cooking, go to mincha afterwards, make the bracha before you light the Shabbos candles. There's no big deal, and everything's fine. When it comes to Shabbos Hanukkah, this same difference of opinion would apply. If you accept Shabbos, you have to light the menorah first. If you don't accept Shabbos with Shabbos candles, you can light the menorah whenever you want. And we see points of view on each side of the spectrum. There is a third point of view that says, well, when you light the Shabbos candles, you accept malacha. So indeed, you have to light your menorah first. But you can have a mincha afterwards because you don't accept upon yourself on Saturday. You're just accepting malacha early. So with the Hanukkah menorah, you're stuck. So you've got to light it beforehand. But with regard to mincha, you do it afterwards. There's no malacha involved in mincha. And we explain that even if you accept the point of view that in every year of Shabbos, you don't accept Shabbos with the Shabbos candles, perhaps this week you do daven mincha early because this week you're trying to reenact the Beit HaMikdash. And in the Beit HaMikdash, the Tamid, the Ben Arba'in, the Korban that we brought in the afternoon, for which we daven mincha today in place of it, was brought before lighting the menorah. Anyway, this is the dilemma of this particular Friday night. And ultimately, I believe that this dilemma continues every single Friday that we have a Shabbos Hanukkah. It's an important dilemma to think about. It's even more important to go home with the following thought. What happens when you light the Shabbos candles? What happens in the air when you light the Shabbos candles? Nothing. Do something. That's something for you to think of. Have a wonderful, good Shabbos and enjoy with some time.